At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Go Birds! What's going on, everybody? And good morning. Today is Thursday, July 10th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And we've almost made it. It's almost Friday, and it's almost training camp time. We are less than 2 weeks away from the Eagles being at the NovaCare. Daily training camp updates. I can't wait. Get me to the NovaCare. But today, we continue our look, position by position, player by player, of the Eagles 2025 roster, and see what this team is going to look like in training camp. What the questions are, what places you feel best about, who's on the bubble, who's not, what are some of the things that the starting players are going to have to do that they maybe didn't have to do last year. So we've already done the defensive side of the ball. We did the offensive line. Today, let's jump into the skill players, or at least the skill players besides the running back, on the offensive side of the ball. Let's take a look at the wide receivers and the tight ends. But before I do, please, a reminder, we have a survey that we are doing for all Go Birds listeners. Really, as James and me always say, you guys are the most important part of the pod. The callers are the lifeblood of the station, the backbone of 94 WIP. And as we embark on another Eagle season together, we want to know what you like about the pod, what we can do better, what are some new ideas you might have, what you want to see more of, and all those fun things. So, if you haven't yet, please fill the survey out. Those that do get 50% off of our Go Birds t-shirt, which is in the store. They got a t-shirt and a hoodie. I think it's pretty cool. I'm biased. Hopefully you're biased, but I think it's an awesome shirt. So go fill that out, and together we can grow this pod with another year coming up. So that being said, let's get into it, and let's talk about the wide receivers on this team. And the first thing that really stands out to you about the wide receiver position is just how many there are right now. They have 12 wide receivers on the roster, which is a ton when you consider the top two, and really three, are so incredibly locked in that there's not going to be any movement there, barring injury. AJ is going to be the first receiver. Devontae is going to be the second receiver, really 1A, 1B. And then Jahad Dotson will be the third receiver. So what it tells me is they feel they need a lot of guys there just to cycle in and out, A, in practice, because I bet AJ and Devontae, they probably won't put a ton of mileage on their body in practices. But also, they know outside of that top three, they got to throw a lot of darts at the dartboard and hope that they come up with some players that can be not contributing members of the team, because again, the top three are locked in, but players that if there were to be an injury or if during a game someone were to have to come out, those players could step in and potentially give them snaps. So we're going to talk about all 12 of the receivers on the Eagles roster. Then we'll get into the tight ends, another position where, you know, tough decisions to be made for a whole different reason. But the wide receivers, we'll talk about AJ, Devontae, and Jahan each on their own. But outside of the fact that there are 12 on there, the other thing that I was thinking as I was going through this was, how much longer are the Eagles going to have AJ and Devontae together? And something that's really stuck in my mind over the past few weeks is a discussion I had with Spike Eskin, obviously, of Ike, Spike, and Fritz, 94 WIP afternoon show. Make sure you're listening to it. Where he was saying, if you look at the way the money is distributed between the offense and the defense, and you look at all the defensive contracts coming up that they're going to have to pay next year, something's going to have to give on the offensive side of the ball. And what's interesting about the offensive side of the ball is The offensive line's pretty much set besides the guard spot. Maybe you'll have to pay the right guard, whether that be Tyler Steen or whoever. But Saquon's paid. Devontae's paid. Goddard's going to be gone. They're going to save some money there. Jalen might need a new deal. But it's not like the defensive side of the ball where you can really, you're going to pay a bunch of guys and you can mold it a bunch of different ways. They might have to get rid of someone on the offensive side of the ball. Now, before I start this, I guess I should say, like, I think the chances that A.J. Brown is playing his last season with the Eagles are slim. But I don't think it's 0%. Because if they have to decide between two receivers, A.J. and Devontae, and I think Howie wants to keep them together as long as they can. I think Howie loves how close those two are. Obviously, I think the best wide receiver duo in Eagles history. But I also think that A.J., and Devontae would probably also like get the ball thrown their way more. So if there's another season where I think they will throw the ball more, but let's say it plays out roughly the same. Let's say they throw the ball a little bit more, like a noticeable bit amount more, but not a ton. They win playoff games. Maybe they go to the Super Bowl. Maybe they don't. But it's a similar year of production for AJ and Devontae. Will Howie, when making all these tough decisions, feel like he can keep two really high-paid receivers on the roster? Now, if you look at AJ and his salary cap situation, if you after this upcoming season, if they trade him prior to June 1st, so between the beginning of the new league year 2026 and June 1st, it costs $20 million in salary cap space. Now, after this Bryce Huff trade, though, where we said time and time again, this will be the, you know, you never know. Like, they redid some of Bryce's deal. They can play around with it. But it's not cap advantageous to trade A.J. Brown before June 1st. And you're likely not trading him after June 1st. It'd be surprising. Similar with Devontae. Got a new deal. Not as cap prohibitive, but pretty cap prohibitive. But one interesting note in A.J.'s contract, and this is according to Over the Cap, is that basically A.J. has a bunch of option bonuses in his contract. That's something you see the Eagles doing more and more of. So how the option bonuses work roughly is it's like large checks the players get. So Jalen has this in his deal where he gets large checks on a certain date every year and his base salary is pretty low. In 2025, AJ's option bonus is due on March 23rd. So he already got that. Back in March, he got that. In 2026, though, the option isn't due until September 1st. Now, maybe this is something I'm not understanding about the cap, you know, but it's just a little interesting that it's later in the year where they're cutting him that option bonus check when his option bonus check is doubles too. In 2025, his option bonus was just $5.7 million. In 2026, that option bonus is $11.2 million. So moving it to September 1st does allow them more time to kind of before they pay that option bonus. Whereas this year, where I know there was some talks of trading AJ and, you know, there were rumors about the Patriots and all that, they had just cut him an option bonus check in March. This time, they're not cutting him that option bonus check until September. So When I think about the receiver position of AJ and Devontae, we know they'll be great. We know that if healthy, they'll continue to put up numbers, they'll continue to make big plays, and they'll help make the passing offense a good part of what it is. You know, Jalen is a good quarterback, obviously, but AJ and Devontae are ultra, ultra, ultra special receivers. And as long as they're on the offense, the passing game, when they pass it, will be good. But you just look at the money of it, and then you think too, I don't know this to be, this is just an opinion, but you hear AJ talk about, you know, the desire, the pleasure he gets from the game is from the week in and week out and the grind and the hustle and beating the man apart across from him. And obviously he likes winning. I'm not saying he doesn't prioritize winning. But you do wonder when you hear that, how open he would be. Again, I hate to keep bringing up the Patriots, but like, to go into the Patriots. What if the Patriots are way better this year? Drake May looks awesome. They have a ton of cap space. Would they trade AJ? And then you factor in the, you know, the, we'll see how his knees go this year. He had issues with them last year in the summer league. I'm sorry, not the summer league. In the postseason. Sorry, got Sixers on the mind. I just, watching AJ and Devontae play together is maybe something we'll never see from this franchise again in terms of having such good receivers at the same time. I know they've had great duos before, but man, AJ and Devontae together, two top 10 guys, that's pretty rare. I just wonder how much longer they'll be able to do it. And this year is really going to be a good litmus test because if they throw the ball a ton and it's awesome, like, yeah, they'll keep them. But if they don't, and it's once again a run-heavy offense and they're not throwing it you know, 30 times a game or whatever. At a certain point, he might have to, Howie might have to sit there and go, you know what? We got to make a decision here. And I think that point by Spike, while people maybe don't want to hear it, I don't even know if I completely agree with it, because I do think Howie can make things work. It is something that has been sitting in my mind since then, in terms of when I'm out there at the NovaCare and I'm watching AJ and Devontae warm up and I'm watching them, you know, be teammates and all. Like, it's a special thing the Eagles have going, and you hope that they can continue it beyond this year. But this year does seem a big deal, I think, in terms of whether or not they'll continue to invest big money in two of the wide receivers. All right, so we know the top two. We know AJ, we know Devontae. And I think people talk about AJ being traded more than Devontae simply because they drafted Devontae. And I think Howie does hold a special place in his heart for his draft picks. So that's why, I think. After that, let's talk about some guys that they're going to need to step up. Because one thing that did happen last year is when AJ and Devontae went down, they didn't have receivers step up. You remember that game in Tampa where it was like awful? They could barely throw the ball. You think about just other times, you know, AJ missing those games. You didn't have big games from anybody besides Devontae in that stretch from the receivers. So that brings us to Jahan Dotson. Now, Jahan Dotson last year, 33 targets, 19 catches, 216 yards, but no touchdowns in the regular season. And only 216 yards out of the third receiver spot. I don't think you should look to that spot to have 500 yards, 600 yards. But I do think you could look to that spot to do more when the guys were out. And that's what I think is disappointing about Dotson's season. Now, in the playoffs, he was better. 53 yards, not a ton, but he should have had two touchdowns. He had the one against Green Bay. He should have had that one in the Super Bowl where he was ruled down just before the line. But regardless, a really big play. He's going to be out on the field. He played 674 snaps last year, about 58% of the offense. I think that number probably goes up this year. Because you figure Devontae and AJ will likely, unfortunately, miss time this year. And also, I think they will want to back off a little bit of those guys. Jahan, by everything I'm hearing and everything I'm seeing, has had an awesome offseason. You just watch him out there. He looks much more comfortable. He's catching everything thrown his way. We've made this point on Go Birds, but I think it's just worth repeating. He has a full year in Philly now. He's not getting traded at the deadline or at final cuts like he was last year. He just seems more comfortable and ready to have a bigger year. So if they're going to throw it more, that doesn't mean two or three more extra targets for Dotson. But what I think it does mean is when he only had 33 targets last year and caught 19 of them, maybe now you're catching 28 of them. Right. And maybe you're getting a few more targets. You're catching a higher percentage. So I think if Jahan Dotson, let's hope and pray there's not a long stretch where AJ or Devontae are out. Let's say they only miss a game or two. I think 500 yards for Dotson is maybe a number to keep an eye on. Again, if they play, and I know I just said you're never going to see that if everyone's healthy, but I'm saying if guys miss time and Jahan Dotson has a slightly better year, I do think he could put up better numbers this year. So I'm bullish on Dotson heading into this season. I think he's going to have a better year. All right, so those are the top three guys out of the way. They're going to make the team more than, I mean, Dotson, 99% not going to be traded. AJ, Devontae are definitely going to be here. All right, now this comes down to the smorgasbord of unproven receivers that the Eagles have in their camp hoping to find something. Let's start with Johnny Wilson, because I think Johnny Wilson is being a little underrated this offseason. So Johnny Wilson had, I thought, a successful rookie year. He did not have an outstanding rookie year. He did not have a rookie year where you're like, oh, wow, this guy could be a number one or two receiver. But I think he had I can be in the NFL type of year. Not special, but you know, only 15 targets, 5 catches. He did catch a touchdown against the Cowboys, but he played almost 400 snaps. That's a decent amount of snaps for, I think it was a 6-round pick rookie. He has size, more size than the other top three Eagles receivers have. And I think now, again, similar to Dotson, with a full year under his belt, you're going to see more out of him. Now, what does that look like? I don't think it means, you know, way more yards. Like, I think what that means is he's going to be out there on all the running plays. And I think that of all the guys behind the top three, Johnny Wilson's the one I think has the most potential to end up being something special. I think the next guy, too, has some upside. But out of the 12 receivers on the roster, you take away the top three. The nine after that, a lot of unprovenness, which we'll talk about. Johnny Wilson has at least been here for a year. He played at a big-time program. He showed potential last year. I'm more excited about what Johnny Wilson can be than I think other people are. So we'll see what he does in training camp. Wasn't there for a few of the days the media was there, so didn't get a chance to see him a ton this offseason working out. But I think he is going to take a step forward this year. I think we're all rating him off a little too early. All right, next up is the most, I think, intriguing receiver on the roster outside of the top three, Terrace Marshall Jr. 6'2", 200 pounds, former second-round pick, the 59th overall pick in 2021, 43 games of NFL experience, so just a ton more NFL experience than any other receiver they have outside of the main three. In his career, 116 targets, 67 catches. He spent three seasons with the Panthers, was with the 49ers briefly, then part of the year with the Raiders, but just has never had a chance really to make good on his potential. Coming from LSU, which is wide receiver U in my opinion. Sorry, Corey, I know Ohio State's up there, but LSU to me, still wide receiver U. I'm more intrigued by there. I think top to bottom, they have more intriguing prospects. Top heavy, probably Ohio State. But you look at him as an athlete, and you look at the spider chart, which just kind of shows off his athleticism. 75th percentile or better in pretty much every single important height, weight, athletic score when he was coming out in 2021. So the athleticism is there. Again, 6'2", long arms, and you watch him run into open field. He does picks up a lot of ground when he gets moving. That's where the height really helps him. Didn't have an outstanding set of practices when I saw him, but did have one play that our good buddy BLG thought should have been a touchdown. I don't think it is, but regardless, he caught a ball over the middle, took off, and you could see some of the playmaking ability there. Terrace Marshall Jr., I think, is someone they're going to want to keep on the roster. When you look at the roster construction of the receiver position, you have AJ, Devontae, Jahan, Johnny Wilson likely going to make the team. After that, these next three are really competing for a spot, and that includes Terrace Marshall. And Terrace Marshall has the most experience of these next three, also including Johnny Wilson. So in an offseason where they're saving cash, they're not making big moves, they're taking kind of lottery ticket players where you hope they make good on their progress, or you hope they make good on the potential they once had, I think Terrace Marshall Jr. is a good lottery ticket to have, and I'm excited to watch him in training camp. So right now, I would probably put him on my 53-man roster, but he's going to have to fight for a spot. All right, the next two are guys that I think are competing for a very, 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 very limited role in the offense, but are really competing for can they be impact players on special teams. Anaya Smith and Avery Williams. So one thing I like about Anaya Smith is that AJ Brown seems like personally invested in this guy. You see him working out together at the link. Their lockers are close to each other. It just feels like AJ has taken this guy under his wing, and I like the chances of someone succeeding when you have AJ Brown really helping you out. The problem is on the field, I've not seen anything special from Anias yet. He reminds me a little bit of Jalen Reagor in the way where when they draft him, it's like undersized, you know, get him in space, elusive, blah, blah, blah. That's not what he looks like out on the field. I thought Reagor almost instantly, you could tell, didn't have special after the catch ability. Anaya Smith, I don't think, has that. And when you saw them last year, the times he did touch the ball, you have to get him involved in creative ways. And I don't think he's a special enough athlete to get him involved. Now, could he improve as a route runner? Could he become a possession slot receiver? Maybe, but he is undersized, and it's going to be tough on this team, obviously, because of the top three. So his way of making the team is going to be as a punt returner or a kick returner. His main competition for that is going to be Avery Williams. So Avery Williams signed this offseason by the Eagles. He's essentially the Britton Covey replacement. 5'9", 195 pounds. He was the primary kick returner coming out of college for Atlanta. On the non-kick return side, he's not really been able to do much in his career. He's moved from corner to running back. Technically, you know, you could say when they signed him, he's a running back. I think they view him as a wide receiver. If you look last year when Covey played, he only played five games last year, but he had eight targets in those five games. Nothing to write home about, but certainly a little more than you would expect. If I told you through in week one, how many targets will Covey have over the next five games? I don't think you would say eight. You remember against Atlanta, he had those targets down in the red zone. There is something they like about that package. So Anaya Smith and Avery Williams, I think, are competing to be the new Covey. And if any of them show a little bit of potential, they could maybe get some targets in the game. I think Avery Williams is more elusive than Anaya Smith. I think he's a better athlete than Anaya Smith. And being at the NFL annual meetings earlier this offseason, Sirianni seemed legitimately excited about him and what he could be. So I think Avery Williams has a good chance to make the roster. I think that he has the newness that Anaya Smith doesn't, and I think they're very intrigued by him. So you have the top three, Terrace Marshall and Johnny Wilson as the top actually going to play backups, and then I think you have Anaya Smith and Avery Williams as that fifth, sixth receiver, depending how many they keep, who are special teams slash small, get him in space, Britton Covey type of role. After that is where it really gets down to, can they hit on anything? And the duo I would put together after this is Elijah Cooks and Danny Gray. Elijah Cooks, undrafted in 2023. He's 6'4", so good size, played basketball in high school, was on the Jags roster in 2023, the practice squad in 2024. The Eagles signed him away during the playoffs last year, so he's still relatively new in the building. But like Danny Gray, they both have a similar background, right? We're with other teams, had potential, and now are with the Eagles. Danny Gray drafted higher, obviously, than Elijah Cooks. He was a third-round pick in 2022 out of SMU. Doesn't have the size Elijah Cooks has, but he does have speed that Cooks doesn't. And he's played. He played 13 games as a rookie with San Francisco. Then he goes on IR. He's waived at the end of training camp. And the Eagles, he's on their practice squad all last year. Of the remaining receivers on the roster, if they're going to hit on somebody as a surprise, it's going to be Elijah Cooks or Danny Gray. I know a lot of the beat writers were impressed by what they saw from Danny Gray and Elijah Cooks in the mandatory minicamp and OTA practices. I didn't leave blown away from them, but I did leave like they got the ball thrown their way a decent amount from the backup quarterbacks, and that's always a good sign that you're where you're supposed to be. You're getting open. The quarterback in the limited roles, limited reps they get with you, trust you. So Elijah Cooks and Danny Gray, I think if they make the team, something's gone wrong. I don't think you want them beating out Johnny Wilson or Terrace Marshall Jr. The chances they're so good that they also beat out a productive Johnny Wilson and Terrace Marshall Jr. seem slim. But I think those are the two kind of lottery tickets that they have there. All right, the last group here are the practice squad guys. Guys that will not be making the team, barring injury. There is just no shot. There's just not. Like, they will sooner trade for somebody before they keep one of these three players on the roster. But of the three, I think two have some intriguing aspects. One, Darius Cooper, 5'11", undrafted free agent out of Tarleton State. Did some research on Darius Cooper, and I thought this sentence was intriguing. Tarleton State called him one of the best players in Tarleton State history. I don't care what college you go to. If you're one of the best players to ever play there, there's something intriguing there. He started all 14 games last year. He finished second among Division I players in receiving yards, almost 1,500 yards, the second most in single season school history, 6 in touchdowns with 14, and he caught 76 passes, which was a single season school record. And I thought this was impressive too. He racked up 110 receiving yards and a touchdown in 7 of his last 8 games. So I don't think he's going to make the team. But much like Shenderick Powell, who we'll talk about when we talk about the running backs, there seems to be something there. Like, he's put up numbers that are special. And I don't care where you're playing. If you're putting up special numbers, there is something there. So I'm excited to watch him. I will say he did stand out a little bit in the practices. It's just, I don't normally talk about those guys because they're not going to make the team. But amongst the third group, he definitely seemed like he was getting the ball quite a bit. So Darius Cooper, some potential intriguing practice squad potential. And then Giles Jackson out of Washington, 5'8", 187 pounds, 23 years old, went to Michigan initially. So played in Michigan and Washington. Those are two big time programs, especially to go to Michigan right away. Was in college for 6 years, so that's not great. But it all came together for him in the final year at Washington. 85 catches, 893 yards, 7 touchdowns. Ran a 4.5 40, not special, but not slow either. Although at 5'8", you would like to see a better thing. So at Washington, he did make some big plays down the field. Maybe it came together for him last year. I think Darius Cooper has more potential than Miles Jackson, but I'd put him second. And then Taylor Morin out of Wake Forest. Pretty cool he gets to be in the NFL training camp, right? 5'11", 185 pounds, 6 years in college. He did return 76 punts and 10 kicks in college. Had one punt return touchdown. So maybe if he's awesome in training camp, he's on the practice squad, there's a bunch of injuries, maybe he gets promoted one day to return kicks and punts. But man, if Taylor Morin is running routes on offense this year in a game that matters, things have gone really, really bad for the Eagles. So that's how I view the receivers. You have the top three, AJ, Devontae, and Jahan. You have Johnny Wilson and Terrace Marshall Jr. as the likely going to play backups. Anaya Smith and Avery Williams as like special teams, maybe gets on the field a little bit. Elijah Cooks and Danny Gray as the wild cards that could potentially overtake a Terrace Marshall, Johnny Wilson, and then Darius Cooper, Taylen Moore, and Giles Jackson, three receivers that are competing for practice squad spots. So once again, the Eagles will enter the year with one of the best receiver duos in the NFL, but it's about finding backups and wondering what's going to happen beyond this year. So on the other side, let's get into the other receivers on the offense, the tight end. So that'll be on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Okay, let's take a look at the tight ends on the roster, which might be the most intriguing aspect of this team. Now, we've talked about the tight ends a lot this offseason. It's going to be hard to keep all five that I think are worthy of a roster spot. Even, honestly, their two backups, pretty intriguing. Cameron Latou and Nick Muse, who we'll talk about. Definitely, I think in other years, if they were their third and fourth tight ends, you'd be like, yeah, these are intriguing guys. But the issue is, when you have Goddard, Calcaterra, Harrison Bryant, Kylan Granson, and EJ Jenkins, tough spot for Latou and Nick Muse. But before we get into those two and really why I think they're intriguing, let's talk about what's going to dictate who makes this roster at tight end. Because as we've said, they're not going to be able to keep all five. Very unlikely. Maybe they keep four if they go light at receiver, go light at running back. Maybe you can keep four. But all four are not going to dress on game day. And certainly all five aren't going to dress on game day. So for me, the name of the game for making the roster for the Eagles tight end and getting out on the field is blocking. That is where there is room for these players to get out on the field. So Dallas Goedert, first of all, going to play a lot of the snaps at tight end. He's back here because he's back here with the idea that he will increase his value over the year. To do that, he's going to have to play. And for the Eagles to convince him to take that pay cut and stay, I'm sure it was, you're going to be out there, you're a big part of the offense, we need you. So a lot of the snaps will go to Goddard. And then after that, I do think Calcaterra has a decent hold on the backup spot. I don't think it's impossible Harrison Bryant or Kylan Granson could overtake him, but I do think he enters camp as the clear-cut number two. Here's where it gets interesting. Last year, Dallas Goedert, 42nd in pass blocking. I think that's an unfair look at him as a pass blocker. I think he's also a very good run blocker. But Dallas Goedert, 42nd. Calcaterra, 75th. Calcaterra, not a good blocker. He just is not. He is a receiving tight end that is going to stay in the NFL by being a good receiving tight end. And you saw that last year, frankly, when Goddard was down, you just saw that he was out there and able to do some of the stuff Goddard was able to do. And I think their willingness to move on from Goddard was part of the reason that because of Calcaterra. So Calcaterra as a receiving tight end, pretty good. Harrison Bryant as a receiving tight end, pretty good, has potential. Kylan Granson, I think they're very excited about him as what he can do as a receiver and a full package tight end. EJ Jenkins as well. So who is going to be able to get out there and block, not only for the quarterback, but for the running game as well? So last year, Dallas Goedert was 39th in run blocking. I think he was better than that. That's what he graded out as. But Calcaterra was 67th out of 80 tight ends that played, not one snap last year. Calcaterra, 67th out of 80th. Not a good run blocking tight end. So Goddard's going to be out there for better or worse. Like, even if he didn't have a great year blocking, he is their best tight end by a long margin. The question is the backup. And if Calcaterra can't block, who is going to step in and take those? So Harrison Bryant as a pass blocker. In 2024, he was 103rd out of 138. Not great as a pass blocker. As a run blocker, 108th out of 111th. Not good. 2023, he was 5th in pass blocking. And then 2022, he was 15th. So those middle years, he was decent. But as a run blocker, he's consistently been bad. 2024, 108th. 2023, 103rd. 2021, 115th. 2022, his best year as a blocker. Overall, he's 33rd. But you look at that, and it's a lot of in the hundreds. It's a lot of not in the top 50, 60, 70. Not a good blocking tight end. Now, he'll get with the Eagles. They'll try to coach him up. But he doesn't come to the Eagles with a strong pass blocking resume. You know who does? Kylan Granson. Kylan Granson last year, according to Pro Football Focus, the 16th best pass blocking tight end, better than any other player on the Eagles roster, and the 17th best run blocking tight end, also better than any other player on the Eagles roster last year. So of the top four, and then EJ Jenkins, I really like, has work to do, we'll see. But of the top four guys where they were thinking of going with Calcaterra, Bryant, and Granson, and then Goddard came back, Granson is clearly the best blocker. So how I view this is Dallas Goedert going to be out on the field the majority of the time. Grant Calcaterra just has not proven he can block enough, where I think there are a large portion of snaps there for Kylan Granson to step in and take. And then we'll see if Harrison Bryant can improve. What will be interesting to see is in training camp, is Calcaterra a significantly better receiving tight end than Granson and Bryant? I think he's a significantly better receiving tight end than Granson. I'm not sure he's a significantly better receiving tight end than Harrison Bryant. The issue is, though, neither of them can block. So the way I view these top four going in is Goddard will play a lot, Calcaterra will play, and then someone will win snaps as a run-blocking tight end. So could they keep all four of those guys? Maybe. But who blocks the best in training camp is going to decide who is the player that makes the team. Now, the next one, EJ Jenkins, I'm big on. He's 6'6", 245 pounds. He looks like a receiver out there. He was with the team all last year. He caught a touchdown. It's just going to be hard for him to make the team. I think if he has a really good training camp and a really good preseason where he's putting out good tape in front of other teams, maybe then you see him traded. I know they're not going to want to cut him, but I think he's a potential trade candidate. All right, the final two, Cameron Latu and Nick Muse. Again, in other years, very intriguing guys. Cameron Latu, 6'5", 244 pounds, third round pick by the Niners. The Eagles love themselves some former Niners. Now, that was 2023. He tore his meniscus in week three of the preseason that year. Cut next year at the end of training camp, was with the Browns for a little bit in 2024, then signs with the Eagles last year. So now he's on the team. 4.78 40. He is a pass catching tight end, but has the potential to be something, I think, as a pass blocking tight end. We'll see what he can do as a run blocker. Cameron Latu, I think, fighting for a practice squad spot. And then Nick Muse, also again, 6'5", 252 pounds, seventh round pick by the Vikings, was with the Vikings until joining the Eagles in 2025. So spent around 3 years there in Minnesota. Did catch a touchdown in mandatory minicamp practice. So that was, exciting for him. And you know, a little note in the practice notes that he did that. But I think this is a pretty clear-cut breakdown at tight end. Goddard, Calcaterra going to make the team. Harrison Bryant and Kylan Granson, one will definitely make it, maybe both. EJ Jenkins, you're hoping that, you know, he continues to improve. Maybe if there's an injury, they end up keeping him, but I think he's a trade candidate. And then Cameron Latu and Nick Muse, practice squad guys, because again, EJ, Granson, Bryant, Calcaterra, and Goddard, all free agents after this year. So developing Latu and Nick Muse, definitely important for this team. So that'll do it for the tight end position, for the receivers, the tight ends. We only got one more to go, which is crazy. Feels like this is flying by. Training camp going to be here before you know it. So we'll talk about the quarterbacks and the running backs tomorrow. But until then, make sure you fill that survey out. Go get 50% off. Would mean a lot to us to get some feedback. He's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.